Isaiah 53, Old Testament. It's time that we stop magnifying the curses and start magnifying the blessings. Whenever you start getting into your negative set, you're magnifying your curses. It's almost like worshiping them. I'm going to tell you something that may sound a little bit hard, but you're not the only one that had a bad day. You're not the only one that negative things have happened to. The problem is we should know what to do about it, and we don't. We don't do it. The one major thing we have to do, is that we have to learn how to receive from God the things that He wants to give us. A lot of Christians have lost their expectancy level, and they're going around just kind of floating, they don't know what's coming, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what's next. They're looking over their shoulder, they're ducking, they're fearful, they're in despair, they're into negativity. I want to give you just one verse before we go here. The Bible says this, listen to me. That which is not of faith is sin. You hear me? That which is not of faith is sin. When you are blessing your curses, you're sinning. When you are magnifying what's wrong instead of magnifying what's right, we're sinning. I'm going to tell you one more thing, Christians. When you listen to someone who's magnifying the wrong instead of the right, you got some issues. And so if we had as much faith in what God can do, instead of having faith in what's not happening, we'd see some action. Hello? Don't shout me out of here now. You know, when somebody comes to you and they're depressed and they're negative and they're going through a lot of trouble, what do you tell them? Pray, seek the face of God, read the Bible, start thanking God, start believing. So what do we do when we start going through things? Just the opposite. Amen? I was preaching in Pelican Rapids a while back, and a lady pastor came up to me and said, I'm really going through a hard time. I'm really going through depression. And I looked at her and I said, if somebody came to you and told you that, what would you tell her? And she said, I'd tell them this, this, and this. I said, well, go do it. Amen? Come on. The media's not going to make anything more positive. The papers aren't going to make things more positive. We need to make things more positive. And then we come to a place and we're going to talk about receiving from God the things that we need to receive. They're out there. They're available. God wants to give them to you. But too often we're just pouting or not listening or focusing on what's wrong instead of focusing on the one who can change not only the situation but can change our heart, as we talked about last week. I want to read this to you. Verse Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now look at this. I want you to see how many times we're mentioned here. Surely he has borne our griefs. That means sicknesses. He has carried whose? Sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for the chastisement of, and by his stripes are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. Anything there that should inspire you? Anything there that should say, wow? I want to show you a picture. I'm not good at painting pictures. But think this morning, and we just did communion, think of Jesus in the garden praying to the Father, sweating as it were great drops of blood, calling out to the Father, Father, if it be possible, do what to this cup? Let it pass. Remove it from me. Why was he there? Because of us. Because of us. Then see the soldiers coming to get him and beating him on the way to Caiaphas' judgment hall. Slapping him, spitting on him, whipping him. Who'd he do that for? And then see him taken to Pilate, and Pilate had him scourged again. Remember the Passion of the Christ? Wasn't it kind of sick when they took him and then flipped him over, started whipping him in his stomach and tearing the flesh out and seeing all that? Why did he do that? For who? Us. And then see him struggling, carrying the cross up the hill, and he fell. And they have Simon of Cyrene come and help him get the cross. And then they lay him on the cross, and they take spikes, something like railroad pins. Have you ever seen them? And they drive them into his wrists and into his feet, and then they set him up. Who'd he do that for? And so why would we ever stop and think that he just did it for everybody but me? Why would we ever come to a place of looking at it and saying, well, yeah, he helped so-and-so, and he helped so-and-so, and he helped this one, but not going to help me. Maybe, just possibly. He can't, because we won't let him. Because our minds and our eyes and our hearts are set on everything wrong. That's what we're talking. That's how we're living. We're just expecting the next thing to go wrong. We're just expecting things to crash. We're expecting bad things to happen. And why do we get it? Because we're looking at the wrong one, or the wrong thing, or the wrong purpose, or the wrong issue. Go with me to Isaiah 61. How many are listening? Amen. We touched on this last week. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Where do you fit in there? Where do we fit in? Why are we still in that position? Jesus came to do this for us. The reason it doesn't happen is because we don't receive. We don't accept it. There are people that have lived for years and have been wounded since they were a child. They've never received the healing, the garment of praise, the oil of joy. Everything, if you forget everything else, everything that God gives has to be received. It's not just by a process of osmosis. It's not that I'm going to think about it and he's going to heap it on me. It comes to a place where I'm willingly reaching out to take it. It's a gift. The gift of salvation. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of healing, the gift of wisdom and knowledge, the comfort that comes from God, the encouragement that comes from God, it's gifts from Him that we must reach out and take. But we struggle. We struggle. Why do we struggle? I don't know. If I had the answer, I could make you all joyful and peaceful and wonderful, even though you're almost wonderful. But we look at the promises of God so often like they're myths. We may not believe in dispensationalism, which simply means that all the good stuff stopped when Paul died. All the good stuff stopped when Paul died. Everything stopped except salvation. We may not believe that, we just live like we do. Hello? And God is reaching out saying, how do I get your attention? How do I get you to listen? How many times did Jesus say, he who has an ear, put your finger in it. He who has an ear, quit listening. He who has an ear, let him what?
Hear.
What the Spirit is saying. Everything God has, He has for us. But what am I going to do about it? Let's just look at some of these things. See what he had to say about it, what the Bible has to say. How about salvation? Are there people going to hell? Yes. Do they have to? No. Why are people going to hell? Because they refuse to receive Jesus Christ. It's not because of their sin. It's because a lot of times of their pride. They choose not to receive. Now, don't come to the place of believing everybody's going to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The only ones going to heaven are those who receive. John chapter 1, let me show you. John chapter 1, verse 11. Just plain John, not first, second, or third. Verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, divine ability, to become the children of God. As many as did what? Received him. For some reason, People's minds are blinded to the importance of receiving. As many as received him. Now listen to me. They're the only ones who's going to be in heaven. If somebody says you can come to our church and be baptized, you're going to heaven, walk away from them. Somebody says you can come to our church and you can have this happen to you and it's not about Jesus, walk away from them. If someone says I have a better way, I have a new religion, walk away from them. There's only one way that works. And if someone's going to say, I have the only way, their leader needs to be whipped, spit upon, nailed to a cross, killed, put in a tomb, and rise from the dead. It's the only one that's going to work. Hear me. If someone starts a new religion and they're saying, this is it, ask them, when did your leader die? When did he suffer? When did you beat him? When did you put him in a tomb? And when did he supernaturally rise from the dead? That's the only one that can compare with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It's the only way it works. What about, I got more scriptures on this, but what about Holy Spirit? Well, everybody gets the Holy Spirit when they're saved, do they? Don't answer unless you know. The Bible says the only thing about the baptism or about the Holy Spirit and the believer, by one Spirit you're baptized into one body. Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus told his disciples, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you be endued with power from on high, until you be clothed. I know I'm on the edge, but listen to me. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19 and verse number 2, Paul's traveling along. He comes to a community and he looks at them and he says this, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they looked at him and they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he said, what have you been baptized with? And he said, they said, John's baptism. Now keep in mind, John was dead. John never baptized him. And Paul says, receive the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues and they magnified Jesus. Whatever your doctrine, whatever your philosophy, whatever you want to think, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's not just going to happen to you. You need to receive. You need to receive. You say, well, does it save me? No. It's not about going to heaven. It's about having enough power to live on this earth. It's about having the presence of God active in your life. Somebody said, well, that's just for the Jews. No, they went to Cornelius' house. The people at Ephesus, when he went in John in Acts 19, were Gentiles. We need the experience. It's different from, but subsequent to, salvation. We need to have the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be overcomers. To step into the gifts of the Spirit, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are so many Christians wimpy? Why are so many Christians up and down? Because they're not living in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's wrong.
And the more you get into religion and religion and religion, the more the Holy Spirit and the more Jesus is left out.
We need to receive. Amen or omen? You need to receive. The problem is we need to get hungry. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And thus he spoke of the Spirit because the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What about healing? Whoa. How many of us, when we get sick, have doubts whether we're going to be healed or not? How many of us live in not an expectancy and not a receptive avenue of the power of Jesus Christ? I started thinking, Lord, was there any place in there where you talked about receiving your healing? Was there any place in the Bible where you just basically said, receive it? So I started searching. Go with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Verse number 38. They were talking to this blind man, and they told him that Jesus was coming. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, they saw it. When they saw it, gave praise to God. Receive it. Just receive it. Don't start thinking why you can't have it and why it didn't come. Come to a place of saying, I'm taking this. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. This is Paul's story of on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. In verse 10 he said, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. And he came to me, he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that same hour, I looked at him. Brother Saul, receive. Let me ask you a question. Whether somebody sorrowing or somebody with a broken heart or somebody was sick or somebody who knew somebody that was sick or somebody going through a hard time or somebody with demons or somebody with anything going on and they brought him to Jesus, how many people left untouched? Because when they got to Jesus, they had heard about him and they were willing and ready to receive. There were no issues. Well, I don't think he does that anymore. Well, I never knew he could do it in the first place. They came with the concept of receiving. Now listen to me. I don't care how long you've been praying for something. I don't care how long you've been asking for it. Don't stop now, but just change your mindset.
Don't go to the mindset, well, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to make it anyway. That's not the mindset. Come with a mindset, I'm trusting him until I receive. I'm trusting him until I receive. I'm walking this out in the name of Jesus, and I don't care if people think I'm crazy, I'm a lunatic, I'm an idiot, I'm irrational. I'm going to walk it out until I see the answer coming from God, or else I'm in his presence. Don't stop. I'm not telling you don't go to doctors. I'm not telling you don't take your medicine. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you walk it out in the name of Jesus until you have the answer, because he will give you one if we put ourselves in the place to receive. Okay, let's look at that. What about faith? What about faith? Oh, everybody has faith. Yeah? Some people have faith in their disease and their poverty and their sickness and whatever else, but they don't have faith in Jesus. Romans 12:3. There's no one here that can say, I don't have faith. The issue is, what are you doing with it? God has given to everyone a measure of faith, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:3. He says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has given to each one a measure of faith. Your mind is not the source of your faith. The source of your faith is Jesus Christ. He put that faith in you to be able to receive him. He put that faith in you to be able to accept healing. He put that faith in you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He has never, say never with me, he has never put doubt and fear in your life. We look at that and, oh, well, I'm afraid. I don't know if I'm right with God. I don't know if this is going on. I'm not sure about something else. I don't know. That's confusion. Now listen to me. Since when is God the author of confusion? If you're walking around in doubt and confusion and all kinds of things going through your head, don't ever look at God and say, God, this came from you. He's not an author of confusion. He's not an author of disorder. He's not an author of panic. He's an author of security. He's an author of love. He's an author of acceptance. He's an author of kindness. He's an author of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. And every once in a while in my life, I have to stop and say, God, that's not you. Why am I feeding that? Why am I hanging on to that? Why am I holding on to all the terror and all the fear and all the things happening in the world? I'm hanging on to it because I'm not looking in God's word, or I'm not looking to him. Somebody can say amen. Amen. I don't care what you say, that's good preaching. Ain't that right, Melvin?
Yes, sir.
Martha? Thank you, Carol. Time out for a drink. But we walk it out. We walk it out. We don't listen to what God's saying. We listen to that goofy, dumb, rotten voice of Satan. Listen to me. God didn't make you to be an echo. God made you to be a voice. God didn't make you to echo what Satan or somebody else is saying. God made you to hear the voice of God and speak it out. And so somebody said, oh man, we're going to have a storm coming. We're going to have, maybe this year they're okay. We're going to have this coming. We're going to have that coming. We echo it. Well, you know, you're going to get cancer. You know, you can't eat that canned food. You can't eat this stuff. You're going to get cancer. We echo it. Can't eat that. Going to have a heart attack. Hello. I thought the Bible said, whatever you got, bless it. And eat it. Even salad. Yep. Amen.
That's good.
You say, well, my stomach can't eat that Mexican food. Who told you that? Please don't. I will. Just put the money in. But we live that way. We echo, we echo, we echo, we echo. Now listen. I told the people Wednesday night I was going to get here, and Joyce would be happy if I missed it. How many of you have looked at God and said, God, do something for me? God, I need this. Do it for me. God, I want this. Do it for me. God, it would be nice to have this. Do it for me. Here's a formula. God is more interested in doing something in you than for you. Because when he does something in you, then he can do something through you. Chew on it. God is more interested in doing something in you than for you. Because when he does something in you, then he can do something through you, and then he can do all the things that you want him to do for you, because he's changed the inside. And a lot of those things you're going to realize, I don't really need. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, love the way you're shouting.
Amen.
Amen. What about ministry? Acts 20, 24. A lot of people, look at me, as soon as you find it, you can't find Acts? What book are you in now? A lot of people are planning your own ministry. And they're wondering why it don't work. I was reading this and I thought, wow. Wow. So I started telling God, I'm not going anywhere unless you tell me to. I'm not going to do anything unless you tell me to. I'm not going to plan my own schedule for preaching unless it's from you. You say, what do you mean? This verse has so much meaning that it's absolutely amazing. Acts 20, 24. And Paul was realizing that he was going to go to Jerusalem and things were going to happen. But he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing moved me. But I want to finish the race and the ministry I received from Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? We do a lot of planning. We do a lot of things. But do we receive it from Jesus? Too often we want to be active. Too often I want to be doing something. I'm that kind of guy. I like to do. But God says, I want you to be so that I can speak to your heart and I can show you where to go and I can show you what to do. It's not simply behind this door is this and behind that door is that and behind that door is something else. Let's make a deal. Just pick the door you want. That's not how God works. God comes to a place for every one of you. He has a ministry established, and you need to receive it and the call from him before we just step out and start doing things. God ordains what he calls. God blesses what he ordains. There's nothing in here that says he has to ordain or bless what I decide to do. Love the way you're shouting. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Ministry, gifts of the Spirit. And he gave word of wisdom. And he gave a word of knowledge. And he gave gift of prophecy. And he gave gifts of healing. And he gave working of miracles. And he gave all these ones. He gave. For the profit of everyone. For the edifying of the church. The giftings that God has given you were to honor the body of Christ and to bless him. Amen?
Amen.
He gave it for that purpose. He gave it so like him, through him we can heal the brokenhearted. Through him we can touch those who mourn. We can heal the sicknesses. We can set people free. Seems like I heard him tell his disciples in John 20, I believe it is, he said these words, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Amen? And he that believeth on me, greater works, keep in mind that believeth part. And he that believeth on me, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Receive. How long has it been since you asked for the gifts of the Spirit? How long has it been since you asked him to empower you with the Holy Spirit? How long has it been since this body just came to him like this morning and say, God, it's all about you. We worship you. We praise you. Then he sent him out. People get frustrated. Well, God don't open any doors. Why should he? What are we going to do when we get through them? Say, what do I do now? Huh? God absolutely, radically is crazy about his church, the people, not the buildings. But he knows without him, we can do nothing. And so we just start stepping out, doing it on our own. It's going to fall flat. But when we listen to him and seek him, pay attention to him. I want to tell you something else as I close. If God's told you to do something and it's not working the way you thought it should, God never designed you for failure. There is not a single believer that God looked at and said, I'm going to design you so you are a failure. God designed you for success, but everything has to be about him. Amen?
Amen.
It's really true. God never devised your defeat. Satan did. God never devised your fall. Satan did. And sometimes we walk into it. And we don't pay attention to where we're going. We don't pay attention to what we're doing, and we get caught up. With that in mind, God never devised you to go back to what you came out of. Don't get so comfortable looking back at your life of sin that it's inviting. God never takes you back. He always takes you forward to him. We were sitting with some people the other night, and this guy said, well, God took my family to get me come to Christ. I think he had the wrong one that took his family. God didn't take his family. God's a giver. When something is taken, basically it's not from God.
You say, I know, you're kind of getting on a weird line. I don't know why I'm getting on this line, but maybe somebody's listening. We have become so satisfied with God took them home, God took them home, God received them. God receives your praise. God receives your worship. God receives you. It's now time we start receiving from Him. The last thing. I said too quick, I'm going to close because I'm not. First time I apologize for that in my life. The day that we live right now, we must learn how to receive His peace. His peace. He said in John 14:27, I believe, as my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give. I never see Jesus walking around worried and fretting and fearful and upset, so nervous that his stomach hurts. Do you ever see him that way? Do you know why? Because he was in charge. Through Christ right now, we're in charge. You say, what are you talking about? He left this world to us. You say, oh, but so-and-so owns this, and so-and-so owns that, and so-and-so has this, and so-and-so. No, they don't. They don't own it. You know that the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? The wealth of the wicked. Why do you think Jesus is going to come back and set up a 1,000-year kingdom in Jerusalem? Because he's going to show that he had ownership when he built it and it's still his. He made this world. It's his. I'm telling you something, he's getting sick and tired of the way his creatures handle it. So he's going to come back and set things straight for 1,000 years, and then poof, there's a new one coming. That'd be okay too. So live in peace. You're not the tail, but the head. Because we're connected to the head. His name is Jesus. You say, oh man, you're pretty radical. Am I? When Adam sinned, this world came under the control or the sway of Satan. But Satan doesn't own it. He just has the principles and dominions and stuff that he's building on it. Jesus is going to wipe those out. And he's going to set his kingdom and show people how this world should have been ran. Amen? Come on. And we're going to get as close to him as we can to be his right-hand men and women. So live in peace. Live in peace. It's going to happen. So there's no world worry to worry about what Al Gore is going to do with global warming. Why waste your time when it's 40 below and we're talking about global warming? Or the greenhouse gases, or the glaciers are melting. I wish some would melt around here. So we get caught in all this stuff. One day we're just going to be walking and we're all going to fry. Hope they fry me in butter. Come on, folks. Let's get a handle on the scripture. Jesus upholds Hebrews 1:3. He upholds everything by the word of his power. If the Son wants to come too close, he said, wait a minute. Get back. If the Columbia Glacier is melting up in Alberta, praise God. I want some, they give us all our cold weather. Come on. We go nuts. We give somebody the Nobel Peace Prize when almost every scientist said, it's fiction. It's a myth. Just because the sun is shining don't mean we have global warming. Hello. I'd like some right now. Wasn't yesterday kind of nice? Aren't we kind of sick when it gets 40 and we think we're having a heat wave? Come on. Gotta be brain dead almost. I see people running around in their t-shirts. 40 above, it was November, they'd have their coats on and their hoods pulled up. Come on, we gotta laugh at each other.
Amen.
Because we are retarded. We chose this weather. What about you? Where'd you come from? My son-in-law is more crazy than me. He comes up here in December.
Yeah.
Listen, folks. How many enjoy just laughing a little bit? How long has it been since you tried it? You know? You might like it.
Yep.
The Bible says laughter doeth good like a good medicine. Well, we take this life so seriously. But as seriously as we take it, we don't walk out what God has told us. I'm done. As I continue to be done. Hey, we love you. We love you with all our heart, but we just know that there's better than what we're going through. And we can go through it better and victoriously and wonderfully if we just listen to what God has said. Receive. How many, the first time you get a bad report, you call somebody? If that's you, raise your hand. Or email now. Worst thing Max ever taught me. I had a peaceful life till I got on the computer. It's your fault.
I feel weird.
But listen, instead of calling somebody that can't help you, call the Lord. Take it to him. He can help. He can give you victory. He can work it out. I don't mind hearing about your problems. But you know, I've been around here long enough to know that I can't always help you. I can pray, but you can pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.